Welcome to the coffee.
Yep. Okay, we're good.
Welcome to the Coffee Bean Experience. My name's Dave.
My name's Zaza. Yo, can you sit down, sir?
And we got a reoccurring guest here. He's coming back for the next time.
Man, I ate an edible. I think he's only been on one episode.
He ate an edible? Just literally.
You ate an edible.
I didn't eat
an
edible.
Yeah, you see how high you are, bro? He's like, oh, those stars.
Yes, the food that we ate tonight was edible indeed.
Edible, yes.
Look at the chemical.
Anyway, so I got to go pee, so I'm going to hand this off to Isaiah and Kadesh. Go ahead, take it off.
Yeah, let me introduce myself. My name is Kadesh, who translates to holy in Hebrew. But yeah, I'm here as a guest on the Coffee Bean Experience.
Yeah. So, basically, Kadesh, we have a little nickname around the house with you. We call you Kadesh sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Little nickname. When we have people over on the podcast, I think you've
got... Let me clarify that Kadesh is also... the Hebrew prayer for Thanksgiving. So while you guys may try to insult me, joke's on you, it is still theologically significant.
Is it now?
Yes, it is.
I missed that part in my history book. So
There you go. It's not in your history book. It's in Jewish history specifically.
Oh, that's my bad. So basically, what we do is we let you take over the podcast. So, mm-hmm. You know, your life, man. So what have you, how did you, what, we'll start with this. What do you do for a living? If you feel safe, feel comfortable sharing that kind of information.
Yeah, what do I do for a living? So, I would first say that there's two qualifiers to that, in my opinion. There is what you do to make money, and there is what you do to make you happy.
That would be your hobby.
No, I mean having a job that provides your living and being happy are not two exclusive concepts. They can be mutually intertwined. And okay. I think that's like kind of the pursuit that a lot of people are in, which is trying to find something that makes them happy, but at the same time to affords them the ability to live.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the pursuit that I'm on in regards to what do I do for a living. I work at the local credit union part-time, and then I'm a student of theology at Franciscan University.
Okay.
So I'm studying for my graduate degree in Catholic theology. And then I do have a small business where I make craft artisan smoking pipes for tobacco. I do need to clarify, we are in Washington State. Marijuana is legal. I have no qualms against that. But I do have to qualify that when I say a smoking pipe, it is for tobacco. So think Sherlock Holmes, other adjectives you could think
Dumbledore.
Of.
Not Dumbledore, Gandalf.
Gandalf, or like even like kind of when you think about like old school Americana, like what do you think of like the quintessential intellectual gentleman? You think of him either with like scotch, bourbon, a cigar or a pipe.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I do is I cater to sophisticated high-end clients for that smoking utensil that they want that is a piece of art that they can add to their collection and also help them enjoy their smoking experience by smoking a piece of functional art.
So how long have you been making pipes for?
I've been making pipes for 6 years now, and still keeping with the theme of your question of what do you do for a living.
Yeah.
I've been making pipes for 6 years, and I think one of the beautiful things that I've learned about it is that I first started making pipes kind of with a straight up entrepreneurial mindset of wanting to make money.
Yeah.
But what I realized though is that the further I went down the rabbit hole in regards to art, the more that I realized that the art comes first and then the money comes second. The money is more or less a tally of how good you are at what you do.
Okay, so it's kind of like the better. So it's almost like a ego thing.
I wouldn't say an ego thing. It's just kind of like a vote. Like you pay a dollar for something at the dollar store because you know what to expect. It's worth a dollar
for sure.
That's why you can go ahead and get a used car for like $10,000.
Yeah.
Or if you value cars, you know what you're looking for, you're a collector, you might spend upwards to $70,000, $80,000.
Yeah.
Even pushing six figures for a Ferrari or a Porsche.
Yeah.
And is it the most practical car? No.
Mm-hmm.
But if you value that,
yeah,
then you want it. And right, you will pay the money for that.
Yeah.
And same thing with the pipes that I have. It's like the better that I got at my art, the better perspective I had, the more unique perspective I have, the more people are willing to pay for that. Because an astute collector that is paying hundreds up to $1,000 or more per pipe, they know what they're looking for. They've been in the game. They know what art is. They know the big names. And they're willing to pay money for something that they perceive as art or high end.
I got
and
you.
So that's the 6 years has been encroaching on that.
Okay.
To where people buy and will pay what I ask them to because they see the value behind the brand. They know that I'm not some fly-by-night guy. They see that I put the time in. They know who I've studied with.
Mm-hmm.
And they see the work that I put out.
Yeah.
To the point that I don't even have to mention who I've studied with. They just see it. They see the craftsmanship. They see the quality. They see the shapes.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is worth the money.
Yeah.
So, but in that process, as I moved away from money and focused solely on the art, other things started getting more, more fine-tuned.
You started becoming more realistic.
Well, becoming more realistic, but this is like kind of on another level in the sense that it's not just realistic. It's the idea that I started learning aesthetics.
Okay.
Color schemes, proportions, what looks good, what doesn't. I can look at other people's pipes and pick out patterns, pick out aesthetic cues that, that people are buying, and that translates over into the real world.
Yeah.
And being able to seek patterns in my day-to-day life. Especially in design, looking at things and saying that those colors don't match, or this could have a much more impact on an individual if you change this little thing. And so for me, it kind of opened my eyes saying like, okay, if I started one business and I've kind of getting to a point to where I'm happy with that, what I would consider successful within the world of pipes.
Yeah.
What's stopping me from doing it again, but doing it for another service or product that is more consistent or can yield a higher payday, getting me closer to the ideal of doing the things that I love and being able to provide for myself. And so the next thing I want to add to the repertoire would be food, being able to go out and do like a little food stand.
Yeah, I saw you had an Instagram about that, right?
Yeah, just kind of. It's Oaxacan cooking, and I'm probably going to change it again just for my name, just because people can't spell Oaxacan. Because it's one of those old Aztec names that's got like letters that you would not expect them to sound. Like Oaxacan is spelled like O-A-X-A-N.
Yeah.
So you would never, if you ask someone to spell Oaxacan, they would start with a W.
Yeah, it's kind of like pterodactyl.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like I got to change the name so if I tell someone what it is, they can easily spell it out.
Yeah, so okay, so... For promotion purposes.
Promotion purposes, and easier for my handle to get out there. And like instead of having to write it out for somebody, they can hear it and they be like, oh, okay, I know what to look for.
Yeah, so I saw that. So you're trying to make that into a business? Or what is your goal with that?
Business. So business? It's another extension of this love for art.
Okay.
That I've really grown into and come to love and has been such a big part of my life with pipes over the last 6 years. Food is much the same way, too. Like how you present the food, the balance of... sweet, salty, fat, and acid, and like all those things, balancing them out and giving something that invokes something. And that's the big thing is like when you go to somebody's house or anywhere, like that's why like people pay money for like the big restaurants is because, okay, how do I set this up? So like for me, like I not only do I like food, but I would visit a lot of high-end restaurants in Seattle, check out the food scene. I went through about 10 years ago. I took up like Seattle Met Magazine where they list the top restaurants in each district of Seattle. And I picked a district and I ate through the whole entire list.
Oh, really?
I did, yeah.
How long did you do that for?
I did that over the whole, like a whole summer from like June, July, and August.
How many restaurants would you say you went through?
I went through one a week.
One a week?
Yeah, okay. So about like over those 3 months, I went through 12 different restaurants. 12. I think there was like 15 good ones. I almost ate through all of them. And the big thing I noticed is like three key components that all of those have nailed down. And that's going to be the food itself, the service, and the ambiance. Because at the end of the day, those restaurants understand experience. A lot of the lower end restaurants may not understand that. They may be just looking for a quick buck. And so you go and you get the food and you're out.
Yeah.
These ones invite you to stay, talk about it, take pictures, and then come back because you're not coming back just for the food. But you're coming back for all those other elements, the service, being catered upon, going into an ambiance that sets the mood for great conversations that night.
Yeah.
And good food helps those go because the conversation either is going to be talking about the food or you just feel so satisfied that the conversation naturally flows.
Yeah, I got you.
And so that's part of the artistic element is like in the aesthetics I was talking about, understanding how do all of those play together. And so with me, like with the food – you know, looking back to my Latin roots, wanting to do like Latin American dishes that are not common here.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, at least in the Pacific Northwest, like from some of the food groups I've been looking at, a lot of Latin American restaurants that you see, the most prominent ones are from the area of Jalisco.
Okay.
And so they have their own certain style of cooking, but that's all we've been introduced to.
Yeah.
That is not the full spectrum of what Latin American food can offer. You're only getting...
Not just that, bro. The, a lot of the your big time Mexican, you know, not to call out names, but we just have to. Moctezuma's...
yeah, but that's not Moctezuma's isn't necessarily like a
authentic Mexican.
Authentic, yeah.
They're American Mexican.
Yeah,
they're American Mexican, but a lot of it is Jaliscan food mixed with American, yeah. And that's what you're getting.
It's Americanized, bro.
It's not, Americanized, it's but whatever flavor profiles you're having are going to be Jaliscan food, yeah. Because at the end of the day, the food that comes from where my parents are from over in Oaxaca in southern Mexico, the flavor is vastly different. You're not going to find the same things that you're here, nor the same profiles. When you get down to Oaxacan food, there is a real rich earthiness and spice to it that the American palate has not tasted unless you've gone to like little mercados or like little fayucas here where the Latin American people will gather.
Don't think that opinion's biased because you have had that food before or you enjoy that food more?
No, not at all. It's like comparing southern food.
Okay.
To another food here in North America, it's the same thing. You can say that that's a certain flavor.
But a good comparison to that is like southern food from like I'm trying to think. There's not many southern places that have made it big, but I mean.
But if they have made it big, it's going to be in the area that they are. Maybe the food or those particular restaurants haven't caught on, but the aesthetic, which is the one we're talking about, the aesthetic carries on. So you'll see like home style cooking like in the northern parts of the United States or the Pacific Northwest, where it's caricatures of that. Yeah. Well, we got shrimp and grits, but it's like, okay, that's a common dish, but are you doing it like they are doing it like in Georgia or Alabama? And the reality is they're not.
Nobody up here is even doing grits. That's a region.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not many places up here.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like that's kind of what I'm looking at is doing something along those lines to bring some more of those flavor profiles, not just for the sake of like the business of like, oh, it's a good niche market, but like there's a pride of saying like where my family's from, their food kicks ass. Yeah. It's really good food. And it's flavors that I'm familiar with, and it's flavors I don't find here. And so, you know, that's part of like I said, the whole entire thing is like I love cooking for friends, hospitality. And
dude, he's done it up, dude. Like you guys do this anniversary party every year, yeah. And they actually cook. You haven't gone to that.
I have.
For their anniversary party, I think for the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
They actually do a huge meal, and they have like 15 people over.
Dang.
And they cook for everybody for their anniversary.
Dang.
Yeah, my yeah.
We did it.
Of course.
This last, yeah, we did it.
But it's like that's the thing for me. It's like even on my anniversary when it's just kind of like we're celebrating.
Where'd you get that tradition from?
You know what? It was one of those, like I said, I think that was the blossoming of like when I started doing that. It's kind of, it was subconscious of like, I really enjoy cooking and I want to cook for more people. And it wasn't until this last anniversary that I did where I went completely Latin American with like lengua tacos, oxtail, huevos, or frijoles rancheros, oxtail,
tacos, bro.
Lengua tacos, pozole, and then I did a frijoles rancheros with oxtail in it. And it was... It was great. It was really good flavors, and like, I was one of those things.
Where did you get that? Where you guys just came up with that idea to cook for other people for your anniversary?
It was me. Like I said, I'm so hospitality driven. We're like, we want to do a big meal, and we looked at caterers and stuff like that. Like, I really want this to be, like I said, the hospitality aspect. I want to share the fruits and the beauty of my marriage with other people. I want to invite them in and let them know. And it was not just hospitality. It's like, it was a thank you to the people who are there because you guys, my marriage is here. It's going to keep on going. Whether you're here or not, my marriage will continue. But you all have been influential in it. Let me celebrate you because that's what it takes for a good marriage. Okay. Raising a kid, marriage, it takes a village. You need iron sharpens iron. You need those people there. And like for me, it's a hospitality thing to say thank you for doing that. And the good part is I love it. I love doing that. It's one of those things where the kind of work that I enjoy is like quick spurts. I love working my tail off And then having a cold beer at the end of it, sweating, being like, okay, done, did it. Look around, smiling faces, full stomachs, people going back for seconds, everybody drinking and talking, and it's like, yeah, that's what good food does.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that. I enjoy sitting back and doing the people watching and watching everybody like lively and jovial, talking and enjoying it. And I want to do that on a much larger scale, but also the other component of like, I would like to be able to do something to where I can take that beauty and be able to live off of it. So,
cool, man. Well, we're about at the end of this, so I do want to give a shout out to your, because you are an entrepreneur of sorts. So
yeah.
Do you have KJ? Did you guys get into your pipe making at all?
We did a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I had to go take a piss, so sorry about that.
It was KJ Pipes, so KJ and then Pipes on Instagram or on Facebook.
And then we hope to be seeing a little. Do you have a name of your business coming up?
Like, not yet. I do have a starting food Instagram that's called Oaxacan Cooking, but I'm going to change that name here soon just because.
Oh, you are changing it?
Yeah, nobody can spell Oaxacan. That's that's the thing. It's like, that's a hard point. If I tell you, hey, yeah, I do have a food blog, it's Oaxacan Cooking, and I leave you,
like
you're going to be like,
X-O-A.
You're not even going to say X. You're going to be like W-C-H-A-N Oaxacan. Well, even if you know Spanish, you may or may not know that because, like, Oaxacan is kind of, like, derivative of, like, Aztec dialect. Yeah, like, the further south you get, the more those letters, the T's and the X's come out that are
actually,
silent.
That's where Mexico came. The X in Mexico, actually, that's why some people pronounce it Mexico. That came from that Aztec influence, the X being that. Because it's not even, anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, even, like, the Aztec god, there was a rain god called Tlaloc. And when you look at the spelling, it looks like almost kind of like Talon-con. And it's like, no, it's like everything's silent, this or that. It's, you know, but I'm going to change it so it's easier. So I just might do a moniker that's just like actually my name. So like Kadesh Cooks or Kadesh is Cooking, something like that. Because the name is...
But right now they can find you at...
Oaxacan underscore cooking or KJ Pipes.
With a... Spell it for everybody.
You put me on the spot. It's, I believe... Even I don't know how to spell it. Like
it's Oaxacan. It's X O A.
No, it's O X.
O X.
It's O A X A K N.
Say it one more time.
O A X A K A N underscore cooking. Yeah.
I'd never have done that. You've been, I've been like a store, like just pretend it was just someone random. Hey, what's the name of your business? Oaxacan. Okay, I'll Google you.
Well, there's the funny part is that there's a liquor company that does mezcal. So mezcal, so like with bourbon, the moniker is that, or not the moniker, but like the quintessential pieces for like bourbon is got to be made in Kentucky. Okay. So the same thing too with like mezcal is got to be made in the area of Oaxaca, and so their brand is Oaxaca. But they spell it phonetically, like W-H-A-K-A-N. So they spell it the way that it sounds in the English ears. But I think that was funny. Like, shout out to Oaxacan Mezcal. If you want to go ahead and sponsor me, go ahead and send me as many bottles as you want to. But their stuff's good. I'll put a shout out to them. Their liquor's good. Oh, especially good with the gusano, which is the mealworm at the bottom. Very traditional. It's either like a scorpion or like a mealworm at the end. But... that's some really good stuff. Like that is, yeah. But that stuff is like the gem, and it holds its own to like good scotch, good smoky scotch. It holds its own. So Oaxacan's a really good brand. Mezcal in general is like a really good treat to have in regards to Mexican liquor.
All right. Well, thank you, Kadesh Swanson of KJ Pipes and Oaxacan
Cooking,
and
KJ Pipes
and KJ Pipes.
Whatever.
No, that's Oaxacan.
That's the liquor. It's O-A-X-A-K-A-N.
Thank you for joining us for another session of... And Zay Zay Zaza, thanks for taking this session, dude. I saw you.
Yeah, that's
I heard
been,
you,
it's
you know.
Been a minute since we've done it.
Yeah, right. All right, man. Well, thank you. We'll see you in the coffee, in the cafe.
Cafe shop.
Hopefully. I don't know if
in
you guys...
the,
is our area still hasn't opened up.
In the online cafe shops.
Our area hasn't opened up. It's
shops.
Crazy, bro.
Yeah.
You can't go to... I want all you guys in conservative states or in countries where your country's kind of getting past the COVID crap. You need to appreciate... like, you were talking about that celebration. It's actually... I don't know if you guys saw the new guidelines, but you cannot have more than 15 people over at your house right now.
Wow!
So... someone will report you. So I think we need to appreciate those days where... you know what I miss? I miss right now? I miss live music, man. I love live music. I love going
to... man, I can't wait till I can go to a bar...
You can't go right now, bro.
I can't go regardless. It's
no,
good,
man.
I can't go regardless. Even yeah. if I could.
So thank you, Kadesh, for joining us. My name's Dave.
My name's Zaza.
We'll see you later.
Kadesh, bye.